good evening. And this is Roy Masters. And I'm here not to entertain you, but to rebuke you so that you might be perfect. That's what Jesus said. I don't know, I have a gentleman that gives me information from England and from a newspaper. I can't remember the name of it. It'll come up in a minute. But the headlines, it says, America's losing their religion, and new research shows that internet could be making Americans lose faith. I never heard such as bullcucky in my whole life. But they always have blaming something for what? Our decline. And for whatever it is, they always have a wrong solution to it. And I'll just read the rest of it too. Just that new research shows that number of Americans with religious affiliations has dropped 18%. That could be true. Or 25 million people. And a computer scientist, oh wow, Alan Downey says, is a correlation between the drop and the rise of the internet use. He says the increased usage of the internet correlates to 25% of the drop. Now, the problem with experts is their intellect and not their common sense. And I will show you what I mean by common sense in just a little while. Let me tell you something so you may not understand right away. But if you will call me, if you disagree, or something about what I say you don't agree with and are insulted by it, or affronted by it, you just give me a call, 800-866-8883. And I'll give you a basic reason for everything. Not just one thing, but the whole kit and caboodle of what's wrong with the world and what's right with the world, which what we have here, what we used to have here, is decent, faithful Americans. That's why I became an American citizen, because I saw the beauty in America when I came here. I knew it when I was a younger man, and I saw John Wayne, who became one of my followers, who supported my program, believe it or not. When I saw John Wayne and the kind of world I could see through the movies, but it was real. It was history. Even if they were fake stories, I could see it. And so I said, you know, that's for me. I'm going to leave England, which was, I think in my own words, was all, all bands and I don't know. I had a way of saying that. And, you know, when you get old, your brain doesn't work as well as it should. But I still have lots of common sense. It's brass bands and I don't know what else it was. I had it and I lost it. I'm sorry. But it was just dry and no future. But I saw the Wild West. I saw America for what I found it to be when I came here. And then I saw a big change, so slowly but surely a big change. Justice seemed to disappear. I've had my own problems with who I am and what I do. As long as I was focused on diamond cutting and promotion of diamonds and traveling around the country with diamond machine, a diamond cutting machine, a diamond polishing machine, which weighed about 1,000 pounds. And went to the finest jewelry stores. Oh, I made a good living. I was in the road of reviewer. I went to schools and jewelry stores wanted me to. I made a very good living. Yeah, but when I began my life, which is what you're hearing now, all hell came coming down on me for what I'm about to say, may the Lord mean.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you, but if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Good evening once again. This is my... Oh, you got that music. Get rid of that music after we say hello to Roy Masters. All right, here I am. So let me continue my thoughts in case you missed the first part of the program. I came to America because in England I saw no hope after the war. It was just brass bands and generals. That's how I saw it. It was dry. But America seemed like a wonderful place. And when I got here, it really was. In other words, I didn't come here with any skills except what I learned when my father died. I went into training to become a diamond cutter. You didn't know I was a diamond cutter, did you? But that wasn't my future. That was a way of making a buck. And I came to America, and that's how I practiced it. I first went to work for my uncle, whose name was Masters also. But then I took my skills and went to all over the country in an old truck with the machinery in the back weighing 1,000 pounds and went to the finest jewelry stores. And demonstrated how diamonds are cut and actually cut diamonds, you know, recut them in front of people, which often takes 3 or 4 days because I talk a lot when people are surrounding and becoming inquisitive as to what diamonds were, etc., etc. It's always, I've had the best diamond stores in the country. Got married, I had $10,000, which is equivalent to more than $100,000 today. And so but what did I do next? I tell you what I did next. I opened the Institute of Hypnosis because, I'll just backtrack a little bit. When I was younger and was during the war, I asked myself a question. Why? How could Hitler demoralize a whole nation, a democratic nation? Were they born evil? Because it was divided into two parts. Those who couldn't speak up, and those who did speak up and murdered everybody. And those who didn't speak up were afraid to speak up because they didn't want to go into the gas chamber and be, you know, put in the flames like Jewish people. Now, I said to myself, how is such a thing possible? Of course, when you look at history, the same thing's happening everywhere. And I'm afraid, from what I've discovered, from my wealthy experience in hypnosis, which everybody thinks, well, everybody in the business, I wish they'd mind their own business because they really don't know what hypnosis is, but never, ever go to a hypnotist. Never. Don't try. I experimented with it. I made a living with it for 6 years. But during that 6 years, my conscience was controlling me. It was shifting the interest from hypnosis, which I became very good at, which I'm ashamed to say, to something that was very opposite. I did not know what that was, and I thought perhaps it is a good idea to start the program this way. To those who are listening to me for the first time, I am an expert in screwing your mind if I want to. And so is Obama. That's why I understand him. I know what he's doing. But you don't, because you're part of what he's doing to you. And you cannot see what he's doing to you. All you know is just, if the worst you could say, he's a bad president. And he does not know what he's doing. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't really. He doesn't really, because he's as much a victim, you know, a very rich victim, doing unto others what was done to him, which is a kind of code of corralling people and taking away their freedoms. His freedom was taken away. He wasn't born the way he's behaving as a bloody hypocrite, you know, with not knowing whether he's a Muslim or a communist, but tries to appease both. That's what he's doing. That's not natural, to try to appease communism and the other one, being a Muslim. By the way, I just remembered something I need to share with you. Did you know that Muslims, the Muslim religion has 20 million slaves and nobody talks about it? Okay, let me forget about that for a minute. I think you just need to know that. It just came to my mind because I got that information just today. I was shocked. They buy and sell slaves. And that's not mentioned, is it? That's what where you should focus your attention there to begin with. But let me say that you are becoming slaves. But you become slaves not because it happens all at once. You fight for what you believe in, and you have a country. It's happened many, many times in Greece and Egypt and Israel. There's always a time when the culture grows, and then it becomes a decline, and we lose everything. And in Rome, it took 400 years to rise as a republic and die as a democracy. Democracy is not the same as a republic. We are a republic. And we're subject to laws, and they're good ones. The Constitution is practically flawless. It's not something that I particularly need, because if there wasn't a Constitution, I would still be a real person. I don't steal. I don't need the Ten Commandments. Not for me. It's only for the bad guys. All the laws are meant to regulate our foibles, our weaknesses, our flaws. But the more you regulate them, the more we rebel. The more we rebel, the more laws you need. And there's got to be an end to that, because the end of that means that the more laws you've got, the less freedom you have. And what is, to explain it, is the reason why we need more and more laws is something gone wrong with the people. And so what I'm trying to say to you, that the Constitution is made only for moral and religious people, for their sake, to protect them against the immoral people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other, says John Adams. See, absolutely. And so when I see the Daily Mail, which is the radio, the newspaper I just quoted a little while ago, saying that Americans are losing their virtues, and I know that, I know what is happening. I saw it a long time ago. It was about the time when I left the diamond cutting and demonstrating and making a good living, and such a good living, you have no idea how popular I was with newspapers, giving me Rota Reviewer sections, full page sections of, and promoting the fine jewelry stores. I was working from week to week. I'd work for a week or two and one, and then another one, and I'd make a round. I'd create a handshake deal with the various stores and do a week or two and then go to the next one and so on. And then I got married and I settled down. But this is just a little story. So what happened was my interests going back many years ago, when I just opened my voice just a little while ago, was the question, why or did Hitler mesmerize a whole country? Yes, he did. He turned a whole country upside down. There's a long story connected to that, which goes back to the First World War. A lot of dissension and anger and frustration in the German people when their money was worth nothing, and pretty soon your money's going to be worth nothing. By the way, you know your credit cards. You know how much those credit cards are? How much is owed? 60 trillion. You didn't know that. Do you understand what's going to happen with 60 trillion people owing money, and somehow you can get away with it? And then if you wait a little while, you can get back again once they take your credit card away. So you're left with owing something, but you can then sooner or later you can get another one and build some more debt. So some really bad things are going to happen. It's not just the collapse of the dollar. It's the collapse of our virtues, our values. The whole thing is to destroy the values. Christianity, Judaism, Judeo-Christian validations. This is, we are a Judeo-Christian nation, and we are losing our faith, and that is being replaced by something very deep. And that, in that something deep, I will explain to you in just a few minutes after the break. My name's Roy Masters, and I want to thank you very much for making the recent pledge drive such a great success. You know what? We only fell short by $330,000 in order to be fully funded. If you are not able to make a donation during our pledge drive, then you can still do so now by calling 800-500-0922, 800-500-0922. Or you can send a check to Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Thank you so much for your generous support. May God bless you and yours, and a very happy new year. My dear friends, look, I'm going to do my best to say to you things that you may not like. It may disturb you what I'm saying, but what Jesus said about, I admonish you that you might be pure. So I don't expect this program to be funny. Don't expect this program to be, you know, entertaining. It should be interesting. It should hold your interest because you want to know for yourself, not just for your country, but it together it would be a country. So, but everybody is listening to me has exactly the same problem, whether they realize it or not. And this problem takes the form of different behaviors. But the behaviors are all coming from the same place. And that place is your ancestors. In other words, if you go back far enough, this is what you would see. So let me begin at the beginning, and then you can see where that problem I'm speaking about that everybody has comes into action in a very deleterious way. Here it is, scripture. Through one man, just one, sin and death through sin. As if you didn't have death. Let me stop here. You're all going to die, but it says death through sin. As if you didn't sin, you'd live forever. And Jesus makes the point. He lives forever. He makes the point. I won't go into that. But in other words, in the beginning, Adam was told he could live forever so long as he left the tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone, etc., etc., etc. Didn't he? In other words, but for whatever reason, we won't go into it. He listens to you because you've hearkened unto your wife, and so on and so forth. Say, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Many of you will just be alive long enough just to die, having never lived. And most of you are already in those stages, regardless of your behavior. Every behavior that is not real, every behavior that comes through you and thinking that it is you and enjoying your behavior and excusing it and feeling self-righteous in various ways. And everybody who recognizes that there's something's wrong, but they don't know how to fix it, or that you are in the same company. Everybody on this earth, regardless of your loyalty, whatever the culture is, from being a cannibal to being a ISIS, from being an American, you have with you the possibility of the aforementioned cultures, you haven't got a chance of a snowflake in hell. If you're born in an ISIS family, you have no choice but to be a murderer. You're born in Hitler Germany, once a democratic country, you know what happened there. You haven't got any opportunity to make things better. And they went to war. world war. They want to take this evil and take over the whole world. And they, it wasn't for Churchill, they would have won. If it wasn't for America helping England, they would have been lost also. It is just a good thing that this happened, but 150 million people died. They didn't have to die. If you had the right voice, and Churchill was the right voice, but the BBC was all there was. There was no other radio station, and the head of the BBC was an apologist for Adolf Hitler and never let him on. Huh? Oh, there's somebody on the line? Okay, I'll be happy to. Oh, I haven't been looking at my. Okay, well, after this break, I will take my call. And ladies and gentlemen, when after this break here, it will be a few minutes, David. It will take a few minutes to get back into the. All right. Well, let me just take the first caller then, because then I can maybe show you to each person that calls what I'm talking about. Okay. It's hello, Taylor. What can I do for you? Hello.
Hi.
This is Roy.
Hi, Roy.
Hi. Oh, you have suicidal thoughts, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Who do you hate most?
Who do I hate most?
Uh-huh.
I don't really hate anyone. Hate's a very strong word.
Well, no, I actually, you have some kind of hostility towards someone you're not looking at. In other words,
I am angry at my parents.
You what?
I am angry at my parents.
Of course. And so, what does anger do for you? Does it help?
Or does
it? No. That's the point. You need to understand that your parents, their behavior was planted in them when they were children too, when they were very small and could not control themselves. They had bad parents also, and so it programmed them, and the program, meaning the sin, existed and grew to what you saw in them. But they couldn't see anything wrong because, I shall use a word, they're in a hypnotic state. In other words, the Bible would call a hypnotic state sin. And they cannot stop what was put, the ugliness that was put in them. And I know you vowed that you don't want to be like your parents. And you've tried your best.
Yeah.
Am I correct? And the trouble is, the more you try to make to do your best not to be like them, the more you become like them. Is that correct? And that's the reason why you feel suicidal, because you're trying to be better than them and you're getting worse trying to do that. Is that correct?
No, not really.
Well, tell me why you want to commit suicide then.
Because I feel worthless and useless.
Well, why can't you overcome worthlessness and uselessness? Why can't you overcome it? You should be able to overcome it.
Something that's been told to me my whole entire life.
Say that again.
I've been told.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean to say it's true. It doesn't mean to hold the line. Don't go away. That does not mean to say it's true. Your parents did to you. All right. So, Taylor, are you still there, my dear young lady?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, would you like to overcome this and go on living a good life?
Yeah.
Because you have your parents' nature in you, and you're trying to make it better. But the only way you can make it better is to pretend, to act it out. But that's not good enough. You can't, it's not possible. Remember I said in the beginning of the program you were listening to, that you, the hypnotic state, what's wrong with everybody in the world, is what you have. You have inherited the nature of your forebears, as your parents inherited the nature of their parents and parents' parents through one man's sin, and death through sin spread through the human race. And so when they came into the world, they were also broken people, and they could not stop hurting you. They could not stop hurting you either by being too nice to you, hoping that you will love them back, and you feel the pressure to the slavish pressure to want to love your parents when they're not lovable, or the pressure to destroy your innocence because your innocence intimidates them. There's something about innocence which you have that causes other people to be uncomfortable, especially when they have the problem, your parents. It doesn't always start with your parents. It can start with going to school and having all the kids laugh at you for being innocent. Your innocence threatens. You're an innocent girl who threatened your parents, and it threatens everybody who's broken, because comparing themselves to you, you make them feel uncomfortable. And the way the dark side of people work is to destroy the light that you've got in you, to destroy you and to make fun of you and tell you what a ruthless nothing you are. And if you get upset, it takes hold of you. And once it takes hold of you, the more you struggle with it, the worse it gets. I can show you how to fix that. Am I correct so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you know about my meditation? It's 7 minutes. Have you ever heard me talk about the 7-minute meditation?
Yeah.
Use it. Will you go to your? Do you have a computer?
Yeah, I'm not home right now, though.
No, I know, but will you please do me a favor? I want to show you how you can help yourself. No human being on earth can help you. I can help you only one way, is showing you how to be still and retrieve your innocence, the same innocence with which you were born. And you lost it because the world around you is rotten. The world around you is rotten and hates you for it. Okay. Would you please use that meditation and call me back tomorrow? Would you do it? And you'll see the difference between. You can go to antidoteforall.com. Can you remember that? Antidote.
What is it?
Antidote for all. Antidote. You know, antidote with an I in it. Antidoteforall.com. And that's all. Times a day, call me tomorrow. Would you kindly do that for me? And you'll see that you'll be better by tomorrow. Would you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So will you call tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. See you tomorrow then.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. That was a simple discussion. But I could see that the simplicity of our relationship is sufficient. Now we're going to take another call. In Mike, is it break time? Okay, no. Mike in Florida. Hello, Mike. What can I do for you?
Hi, Mr. Masters. About 7 years ago this afternoon, I had basically psychotic episode, what I think of as a psychotic episode, because I basically just went crazy, and I started screaming at the top of my lungs, and my neighbors called the police on me.
Oh,
and I'm concerned that I had an experience that's not a healing experience, but something different.
Give me a little bit more.
Well, I was talking to somebody over the phone about a problem that I've had for a long time, and it won't go away no matter how I try.
And what is the problem? It won't go away.
I'm having a problem getting some money back from a business type situation.
How much is it?
About $200.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
And so why has it made you so disturbed? It's easy to solve.
I had fear come over me. I felt like I was just going to get sucked up by it and I would never come out of it or something.
How comes you owe $2,200, which is not much? How comes you owe it?
I lost $200 and I'm trying to get it back, and they're telling me they're going to send it back.
Mail. No. You lost your own money?
Yeah.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Are you're going to sort of do yourself in because you lost $200?
Might sound ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
I mean, I have mental health problems, so I mean,
you've had mental health problems all your life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I have had them all my life.
When did this first happen to you? When did you notice this behavior?
Oh, this behavior probably since I was a teenager.
And before that? Can you pinpoint something that happened that made you feel so low?
Oh, I think I had early childhood trauma when I was like very young.
Well, what was it? Was it about money?
No, I fell out of a window.
And why? How was that?
I was sent to a hospital for 3 days, and I remember exactly what happened the entire time I was in the hospital, even today.
I know, but what did the incident happen because you went to hospital, or did it happen before you went to hospital?
It happened before. Probably happened when I.
What happened that sent you to hospital?
I fell out of a window, about 6 feet out of a window. There was a screen on the window.
Yes.
She undid the hooks to the screen so it would open outward. Mm-hmm. And she put me up on the windowsill, and she told me to be careful, don't fall.
Oh my God!
And I remember
your mother tried to kill you.
She tried to kill me.
Well, I understand that.
I talked to her about it when I was a teenager, and she just kind of dummied up. She didn't, she kind of looked like she was constipated or something.
Yes. How old are you?
Oh, I talked to her about it when I was about 15, I think.
How old are you now?
Oh, I'm 60 now.
And so your mother's dead?
Oh, she's long dead, yeah. But I've had mental health issues all my life.
I understand for that. And so what happened to your father?
He was an alcoholic, and he pretty much, he punched me around some, but not a whole lot. You know, just enough to keep me scared all the time, basically.
Yes, yes, so your mother and father were no damn good, right?
No damn good, yeah.
I know. But have you used the meditation yet?
Yeah, I've been doing the meditation actually for several years, and I don't see really any emotions when I do it. And the reason I don't see them is because they're so severe, they're so powerful that I can't see them.
You mean, say that again, it didn't make sense.
I don't see emotions when I meditate because it's like I can't feel the hatred that I feel because it's too intense. But I saw it this afternoon.
It's not making sense because. Say it again, because I never heard it said that way before. Please say it again until I get it. You can't say it again, please.
I don't see the emotions while during the meditation, unless something really sets me off.
Yeah, what you're making a mistake is I didn't ask you to look for your emotions. I only ask you to do the following. You cannot do any more. You can't add anything or subtract anything for this to work. Because you are looking for your emotions, and I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to look at your eyelids and not for your emotions. So that's not going to work for you if you don't do this. And you will not have a life until you understand the simplicity, the magic of being redeemed from all the hell you went through. Yeah. In other words, you are trying to fix yourself. You are interpreting the meditation in a wrong way. You're looking for your emotions. I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to look at your eyelids.
I don't think I'm looking for them. I just know that I never have any emotions.
I never ask you to see anything. See, I'm asking you only that you see, close your eyes. Close your eyes just for a minute. And what do you see when you close your eyes?
My eyelids.
Yeah, that's right. You see your eyelids. But don't you see little pixels or something? You don't go black.
No.
So what do you see?
I see the little pixels.
That's it. Now, that's all I want you to do. Nothing else until the next thing. I say, hold it there. Now I say to you, are you watching your eyelids? That's it. And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay, the next things you do, we are not asked to help, to not asked to get better. You don't ask for any outcome. You just do what I ask you to do. And what will happen on its own. Something good will happen to you that will erase all of the bad. And the bad came through your parents. And living in the world didn't help you much because the more vulnerable you are, because you're vulnerable, you're invulnerable to other people just like your parents. There's plenty of people like your parents, and every time you see someone that looks like them and smells like them, it reinforces your misery.
And
am I correct?
Yes.
All right. So now I'm going to take you away from that. I'm not asking you to save yourself. You are too busy saving yourself. You cannot save yourself. You need a divine intervention. And that is what I'm trying to help you with. And the reason why you can't do it is because you're not doing it properly. You are not following my instructions perfectly. And simply, you're looking for an outcome. And the outcome you hope will cure you. That's not bad, but I ask you not to look for an outcome. Look for something. I'm not only saying to look at your eyelids. And not anything else. Then I say next, can you be aware of your right hand and your first little finger? And you say yes to yourself. And I said, but now that you give attention to your hand, right hand, can you be aware of your first finger? Now, I want you to close your eyes and look at those pixels. Would you do that now, please?
I'm practicing it now. Yeah, I'm doing it.
Okay, now you're doing it. Now, can you now, when you look at your eyelids, be aware, not look, be aware. Don't look at your eye, don't look anywhere, just look at the eyelids. But be aware that your first finger exists and it tingles. In other words, you're giving it attention to your first finger and it tingles by giving it attention. That's energy. That is a brand new energy that has nothing to do with stress. It will counter stress, but we're not finished yet. Can you move your attention to the next finger and be aware that it's there? Just, it's there. Like you're a little kid, like your finger was a little kid and you want, the little finger wants attention. So give attention to that second finger. Can you do that?
Yes.
And it tingles. You are putting new energy into that hand. You don't realize what you're doing, but you will if you do it right. Now you go to the next finger, the third finger. Can you be aware of that tingling too? And the finger is like a little kid. It's saying, thank you for being aware of me. I didn't know you noticed me before. I'm here. That's what it's really, it's parallel to that. Your finger needs attention. They're right there. And your whole body needs attention, but this is where you start. So now do you feel the tingling in your third finger, correct?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, now the little finger. Okay,
yes.
That tingles too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, now the thumb. Now, while I'm talking to you, go from your thumb tingling to the first finger, discipline, and the second finger tingling. Can you do that? Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you keep doing that and hold it there. I'll be right back in just a second and get rid of all commercials because I want to continue talking to this man whose life depends on me speaking to him. Okay. So now, what's happening to you?
I was starting to feel sadness.
That's good. Watch it. Watch it. Let it come over you. Watch it and look at it. And keep being aware of the first finger, the second finger. Just do that. Now what's happening is this. Your conscious mind is separating from your brain. That's when you're looking at the pixels. It means you're looking at something with another eye. And that eye is your soul that's no longer entangled with your monkey brain. Your monkey brain doesn't control you anymore. The light that's coming with you inside you will... Okay. Oh, now open your eyes a minute. That's all I ask you to do, right?
Yeah.
I want you to look around and tell me what you see. Is it bright? Does it look a little brighter around you?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit brighter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all you need to do. Practice that with a meditation without expectation of outcome. Can you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Please, do it.
I usually do it successfully. Today I just had something that I got emotional about.
And so that sort of ruined it.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but the whole purpose of the meditation is to not be affected by anybody anymore. Because if anybody looks and smells like your parents, just looking at them will stimulate you to be angry at them even though they may not be them. Even if they look like them and they're perfect angels, if they look like your parents, you'll resent them secretly and hide it. And they're not the ones that did anything to you. That's how dangerous it is, your programming. And so what I am helping you do is finding redemption from that system that into which you were born. That's all I want you to do. So you call me tomorrow, would you?
I will. Thank you very much for your time.
David, would you take control over this? I just got to go inside and see your mother. Can you discuss something with everybody? I'll be right back. Thank you.
Yeah, if you're interested, you should go up to the FHU website, the home page, and that is www.fhu.com, and there you can see the variety of things that are available, and of which on the pay side of the site, I think it's $10 a month, there is archives which I think extend back 40 or even 50 years. And we're talking about when my dad was on some very famous TV shows back in the 60s and 70s. And also all of his manuscripts, because I personally used to read them when I was a teenager going to high school. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the reasons why I was able to survive the stress of the crazy world that we all grew up in at that time. And this is something that you might want to help your children to understand also, because I know that my kids have benefited greatly from understanding the world through a clear lens and not through a distorted view, as many children grow up looking at the world and being branded by the world. And if you allow this to happen, it's very difficult to get them back, because look what you had to go through in your own life. And so do you really want that to happen to your children? You don't. You want them to be stronger, better, more awake than you are. But unfortunately, a lot of parents do not understand that that threatens them, that idea of children being above them. Because isn't the student always, the student should always become greater than the teacher at some level. Otherwise, the teacher may have failed in the task of educating. It's the same with parents. The parents, at least I want my kids to be better than me. I want them to be more aware, stronger. You know, that's why I put my children in martial arts when they were 3.5 years old. Because I could see far ahead that the world that we're going to be living in the future, is going to be a very dangerous place. So I armed them like the Spartans did with their children. At the age of 7, Spartan children, the boys were taken away from the mother and the parents and put into training to become warriors. But we don't do that. We have helicopter parents now hovering around children. And it's very dangerous. Very dangerous to hover and to enable children and to think of them as something special when all they do is, you know, what every other child will do. How do you know a child is special? Well, I can tell you one of the most sure signs of a child that's special is that child is not afraid to speak their mind. And they're not embarrassed when asked to, you know, shake someone's hand. They have confidence. You think about that word confidence. It comes from the Latin confideo, which means with knowing. They know where they're coming from. They know who they are. They're not intimidated by people, adults, or either that or bully children. And so they grow up and they have a special potential for becoming leaders in this world. And I would imagine that that's what you want your children to be, wouldn't you? If you had a choice, wouldn't you want your children to grow up and be leaders of some kind who influence the world for the better and not just followers who follow in the line of succession of all the other people down the big highway to hell, you know, the super highway to hell. And paved on the road of good intentions. No, you don't want your children to go that way. But you have to be an example. And so wherever you are in your parenting or wherever you are in your grandparenting, wherever that might be, it behooves you to take into consideration that it's okay for children to outshine you and to not to praise them, not to necessarily lift them up, but to recognize their gifts. And to value those qualities in children and not disable them and make them codependent. I mean, how many of you live your lives now in a sort of codependent condition? You have to have that other person for whatever reason, otherwise you feel incomplete in your life. See, a person who has been crippled emotionally. Are you there, Dad? Here he comes. A person who's been crippled emotionally, mentally, it has codependency problems. They need somebody to hold them up. They need somebody to hold on to. And it's a terrible thing, because that dependency leads to other kinds of dependencies, food dependency, junk food addiction, alcohol, drug addiction. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? You got to put your headphones on. Yes, Dad, I'm just doing the show while you were gone. No, Taylor's going to call back tomorrow. So.
The technique he's using.
Oh, that I'm sorry. That was that was not Taylor. That's Mike in Florida.
Is that right? Are you talking to Mike in Florida now? Oh, he's gone too. Okay, you have it. All right. So what was the discussion? So I can. Yeah, especially, but they sabotage them. And in this case, the mother was so angry with her situation, and the son is the extension of manhood. See, in other words, she hates her husband and may hate all men. And so when in a streak of terror and anger, it's possible to commit murder. And this kind of thing happens more often than you think. So she unconsciously, but this is not something you do consciously. It's something that makes you do it. It makes you feel like it has to be done. And otherwise you get no relief. And so the forces that this young man experienced was something that, which I said from the beginning of the program, is in everybody to varying degrees. Some people compress this anger into themselves until they come have very serious diseases like cancer. So there are so many different variations of the diseases. It depends upon what you eat and what you do and things like that. So every person who has trouble mentally, emotionally, and psychologically and physically has the same root cause. It doesn't express itself in exactly the same way, but if you have cancer, if you have something very common, what do they call it with shortage of breath when you can't breathe? Asthma. Let me tell you what asthma is. And so, because the person who has asthma has exactly the same parent, exactly the same intimidation, a mother who worries and pushes her will on a child and causes him to be angry and upset until the energy that causes flight and fight, adrenaline, is exhausted. And because it's exhausted, they can't breathe. Because you know when you run and fight, you start to breathe when something's dangerous. So when your mother's dangerous and keeps pushing and you get angry like an animal, and then your adrenaline dries up. It's all used up and you can't breathe. And it's the same with everyone like that. Everyone is exactly the same. It's the same usually with a mother, because the mother's with the child most of the time. Okay, so anyway, just think about that. Oh, it's the end of the hour, isn't it? Oh, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Support the program, will you? Thank you. I appreciate it.